Ricciardo, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
That was brilliant, mate. I think we can see a smile from here. Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it. Style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required. Thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. Our fourth outing of the season brings us back to the scene of our first historic victory, the Shanghai International Circuit. It was here in 2009 in monsoon-like conditions that Sebastian Vettel took the checkered flag ahead of teammate Mark Webber to secure our maiden F1 win and our first 1-2 finish, of course. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to Sebastian and Daniel about their Chinese Grand Prix. We hear from Christian Horner, Marcus from the marketing team, Sebastian's PR girl Britta, and our hospitality manager Kerry Arnold. Plus, we have news of how you could be joining us for breakfast at the Canadian Grand Prix. It's an awesome prize. Let's start with the race here in China, and it was a pretty successful one. The team moved up into second place in the Formula One Constructors' Championship, as Daniel and Sebastian finished in fourth and fifth places, respectively. The 22 points earned moved the team 3 points clear of previous second place squad Force India, who now have 54 points, with Ferrari fourth on 52. Mercedes again took victory, with Lewis Hamilton finishing ahead of teammate Nico Rosberg. At the race start, Sebastian made a good start and stole past his teammate as the field barreled through the first corner. Daniel's start was less successful, and the Australian, who had started on the front row behind pole winner Hamilton, was also passed by the fast-starting Fernando Alonso. That formed the pattern of the opening stint. However, when the first round of stops began, the order at the top changed, with Sebastian losing second to Alonso as the pair made their first visit to the pit lane. Daniel too lost out, Nico Rosberg stopping two laps earlier than Ricciardo and gaining time as Daniel's tyres reached the end of their lifespan. In the second stint, Seb's pace began to drop slightly as he suffered greater tyre wear than Daniel, and the 3 second gap he had enjoyed to his teammate disappeared. Eventually, the team asked the champion to let Ricciardo through, and after being made aware that they were on different strategies, Sebastian pulled across on lap 33 and let Ricciardo pass. Here is Dan after the race.
I think the last three races now we found ourselves on track together, so it's fun, you know, at least for me to be battling with him, and you know, we all know what kind of driver he is. He's a four-time champ, so it's encouraging for me to be in battles with him. That's good. And yeah, we eventually got past and had a good second and third stints. You know, going to the race, I don't know if we all the guys on the dirty side, so to speak, got a poor getaway, but ours was, yeah, not good. Just sat there spinning up on the line a bit too long, and we lost the two places. From then on, I thought the race was good. I did what I could. After each stop, we improved the car. And then, yeah, the end was doing all I could to catch Alonso, and I think we got within a couple seconds there over the line. But I really want that podium. So for that, I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest, because we are so close, but still a bit far, if you know what I mean. But another race, and we're asking for a couple more laps, and the result could have been better, but It'll come.
Sebastian crossed the line after Daniel in fifth place. Here he is after the race.
Initially, I didn't understand because we were on the same tyres, unlike Bahrain. So that's why I double-checked. But then when I got the call that at that stage, Daniel was on a different strategy, yeah, I moved over. Also, I had to see more and more towards the end of the race that I just didn't have the pace. So I think the gap in the end, 24 seconds between us. Obviously it's something you don't know at that stage, but in the end there was no point holding him back. Obviously we're not yet, I'm not yet where I want to be, so fighting with the car, but you know, it's an ongoing process. We make one step forward, one step back, but hopefully in the next couple of races more steps in the right direction.
This is the first race of the season with the Red Bull Paddock Club. We invite a whole host of guests to join us for a very exclusive view of the race. Katie went to speak to our hospitality manager, Kerry Arnold, to find out more.
Okay, Kerry, thank you for joining us. It's the first race this year with the Red Bull Paddock Club, which I'm sure our listeners at home often hear about but don't know that much about. So could you describe to everyone listening what is Paddock Club and what's it like?
Paddock Club is the VIP hospitality area. It's located right above the garages, so it offers the best view of the circuit. You're always on the start-finish straight, so you get an awesome view of the grid at the start of the race. There's usually another viewing area, like a roof terrace or a grandstand where you can go and watch from. So it really does give you the best vantage point. It's also one of the best sports hospitality examples in the world. For me, I'm really proud to be able to say that I work within that environment. When a guest enters, they enter into our Red Bull Racing Paddock Club Lounge. They are made to feel very special. We make sure that we welcome everybody individually. We tell them about what's going on in the day. So when our drivers are going to be making an appearance, we also run certain things called a F1 Explain session. We try and make it a bit educational in there, because most guests don't really understand Formula One fully. So we will bring up a representative from Alpine Stars, for example, and ask them to talk about the driver suit technology, or we'll bring a steering wheel up to the Paddock Club and explain that to guests. So just to give them a deeper insight into Formula One. It's a full day of hospitality, so you can have as much champagne, wine, beers, everything you want. And in terms of food, we're actually quite different to other team suites. We have a flying buffet service, so because our lounge doesn't offer a formal dining experience, we have sofas and comfy chairs. Guests can just kind of chill out and the food is brought to them on a comfortable seat.
And it sounds pretty special. And how many people would you have up there during a day?
It varies from race to race. So our biggest suite is actually in Austin, where we have about 400 people. But we'll always have about 100, between 100 to 200 people. So it's a lot of people up there, but it's a great atmosphere. We have a DJ in there too, so he's just kind of creating that Red Bull kind of vibe, and it's a great place to come and hang out.
And then it's your first race this season. Mm-hmm. You were back in the factory for the first three, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So what's it like being back on the road?
Oh, it's great to be back. In some ways, you know, it doesn't really change. You know, you see the same faces, and it just seems like the winter's gone really quickly, and it's great to be back. And we've kind of refurbished the Paddock Club suite, so it's all shiny and new, and it's great to be back.
And what's the best thing about your job?
Being able to show people how amazing Formula One is, give them a real kind of once in a lifetime experience when they come to a race with us. You know, we take people down to the garage, give them a tour. All of our guests get to walk along the pit lane so they can see into everybody else's garages, and we bring them into our garage and they can have a photo in front of the car. It's a once in a lifetime experience for many people, and I love seeing their excited faces and, you know, just showing them an insight into Formula One.
And some people might have seen your face before, because you're actually the girl that was proposed to in Singapore last year. What day was that?
It was on the Thursday of the Singapore Grand Prix.
Okay, they might remember you there, and you had those great photos. Just explain to us what that was like.
Well, everybody was in on it. Everybody knew, apart from me. Nick, my boyfriend, now fiancé, arranged for everybody to gather on the start-finish line, and we usually go for a run of the track on a Thursday, so there's nothing out of the ordinary there. And then we started running, and of course in Singapore it's extremely humid, and it's a very, very sweaty run around that track. It's a hard one. So we were kind of running around, and then we came around the last corner, and I saw all these people standing on the start-finish line, and I was like, what are they doing? What are those people standing there for? At first I thought it was the grid girls about to do a practice or something, and then got closer and started recognising them, and then all of a sudden Nick hangs over the pit lane wall with a pit board saying, "Kerry, will you marry me?" Actually, it didn't say, "Kerry, will you marry me?" It said, "Keza, will you marry me?" And it turns out he didn't have enough R's to put marry and Kerry, so he had to go with Keza. But it was a big shock, and I was so surprised, absolutely not expecting it. And I've got a beautiful, beautiful ring, and we're getting married this year in August.
Oh, many congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
Thanks, Katie.
Climb now on the podcast to win. We are looking for three fans to invite for breakfast at our team hotel in Montreal at the Canadian Grand Prix. So if you're heading to the Grand Prix and would like the opportunity to meet and hang out with the team, drop us an email at social@redbullracing.com. That's social@redbullracing.com with the subject line, pick me for the breakfast club. A short description of why we should pick you, a contact number, and also make sure you're connected to us either on Facebook or Twitter. What a prize. Good luck with that. Now, it's a big weekend for the team. Red Bull China has just launched over here, so Rich went to speak to our marketing man, Marcus Prosser, to find out more.
I'm joined by Marcus. Marcus, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Richard. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Marcus, can you just give all the fans a quick overview of your role in the team and what you do at the races?
My role within Infinity Red Bull Racing is the Red Bull Relations Manager. Red Bull is in 167 markets globally, and what I have to try and do is tie in the markets with our Formula One activations.
Talking about the markets around the world, we're currently in China for the Chinese Grand Prix, and this is quite a special year for China because it's the first time that Red Bull China actually launches. Can you give us more info on that?
It's really, really exciting times for Red Bull. We sold our first can here back in January this year, where it's an imported can, so it's canned in Europe and it's imported into China. Very, very exciting market. The Chinese consumer can have or expect quite a lot from Red Bull in the future.
That's great. And talking just about China, what are some of your favourite things about the country?
There's no denying it here. The food is absolutely fantastic, and the fans also here, they're so passionate and very knowledgeable, and it's great fun, a really, really good race.
After China, we do a few European races. It's the European leg of the season, excluding Canada, of course, but we go to Barcelona, Monaco, Austria, and the British Grand Prix in the next few months, which are all really big races for Infinity Red Bull Racing.
Europe is brilliant. We're back. Spain is a fantastic race, really. It's great fun. It's one where a lot of people want to get to. Obviously, being back in Europe, it's a lot easier to get to for a lot of the guests and our partners. That's always nice to be back in Barcelona, and also, nice to be back in the Red Bull Energy Station. And then just around the corner from Barcelona, we head to Monaco, where the Red Bull Energy Station comes into Monaco. We'll be floating it once again this year in the harbour, where we'll be entertaining guests from Wednesday onwards. Monaco really is the jewel in the crown. It's a very tough race to work, really, really long and hard days, but really, it's a very, very special race.
Touching on another special race, it's the Austrian Grand Prix is back in the season, which is effectively our home race.
To have the Red Bull ring back on the calendar is absolutely fantastic, something which we're all very much looking forward to, and I think Austria and the surrounding area will be very much excited about its return. Can't wait to get there. It's going to be a very, very special race indeed.
And then just talking about activity away from the actual racetrack, we do a lot of running show car events, and it's something that you work on a day-to-day basis with the team back in Milton Keynes. Our next one is the Budapest Show Run.
1st of May, Budapest, we're going to be taking two RB7s, which will be driven by David Coulthard and our racer Daniel Ricciardo. And we will be down there driving up and down, putting on an amazing show for the fans in Hungary. Hungary's a beautiful place, and to have the two F1 cars doing the show run thing in Budapest, it'll be phenomenal. It's definitely to see, for sure.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today. And for all the fans who want to join us in Budapest, check out the website. You can get more information there. And we'll catch up with you at the next race.
Rich, always a pleasure. Cheers.
Thanks.
Now, being a Formula One driver is a very demanding job. It's not just race weekends they have to worry about. They have so many more responsibilities than just taking the car over the line. Rich went to speak to Sebastian's PR girl, Britta, to find out what Sebastian gets up to outside of the race.
So I'm joined now by Britta. Britta, can you please explain to the fans what your role is within the team?
I'm Sebastian's PR lady, and I look after all his media and public relations.
With regards to Seb's activity leading up to the race weekend. A lot of fans always see the action from Thursday to Sunday, but they don't actually know what Sebastian does in his time off during the week. Can you please explain some of the things he might get up to?
Yeah, he does a lot of training back in Switzerland, and then just before we go to GP, maybe we go a few days before, because he has to do some sponsor events. For example, in China on Wednesday, we had to do something for Infinity, and he had to compete against some Chinese singers, a snooker player, and a competition winner, and it was quite fun, and he really enjoyed. And also, he had to do a lot of interviews with Chinese media. It was a very good day, but also very tough work.
Normally, after the race on a Sunday, a lot of people think that both our drivers just get the chance to fly home and relax for a few days, but that's not the case. So I believe Sebastian's off to Beijing tomorrow. Can you tell us more about what he's doing in Beijing?
Usually after a race, it just continues with PR events or sponsor events. So tomorrow we go to Beijing, where he is experiencing some Chinese traditions. From what I heard, he has to take part in a dragon dance. I don't know how it works, because he has never done it before. But he has been to Beijing before for the Race of Champions, and I think he will really enjoy it, because he likes to experience new cultures wherever he goes.
Sebastian's got an ocean of fans across the world. A lot of fans have asked why Sebastian doesn't have an official Facebook or Twitter account. Can you give us more information why?
Yeah, he's just not so keen on social media, because he thinks it's not so personal doing it through a computer. He knows that he reads maybe a smaller fan base, but he just prefers the personal touch. So he prefers to sign, for example, a lot of autographs at the circuit, and he spends hours signing autographs or presents or whatever the fans come. He really enjoys this side.
And for fans that want to try and connect with Sebastian online, how would they?
He communicates through the team's official channels. So if you want Sebastian Vettel news, check online on the Infinity Red Bull Racing website, Facebook or Twitter.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure you've got a lot to do and get ready to go to Beijing, but we'll catch up with you at one of the other races later on in the season.
Yes, perfect.
Thanks, Britta. Those contact details are his website, which is www.sebastianvettel.de, or at facebook.com/Red Bull Racing. And you can get in touch on Twitter, which is @Red Bull Racing. Final word on the podcast goes to our team principal, Christian Horner. Katie went to see him after the race.
Okay, so a solid race with fourth and fifth. Just tell us about the start, first of all, with what happened with Dan's car at the start.
Well, unfortunately, his start didn't go too well. There was a bit of oil on his side of the grid in his grid box that was being cleaned up before the start. But unfortunately, that with a bit too much wheel spin didn't get Dan off the line particularly well. And he obviously dropped behind Seb and Alonso, which cost him a bit of time over the first few laps.
And then there was obviously the incident with the radio messages after the first pit stop. What happened there?
Nothing untoward, basically. I mean, obviously, it was obvious that Sebastian was struggling a bit more with the tyre degradation, and Daniel, having stopped a little bit later than him, was on a planned 2-stop, and at that point we weren't sure whether it was going to be a 3-stop or a 2-stop for Seb. We asked him to let Dan through. He questioned that because he could see Dan was on the same tyres, thinking that they could be on the same strategy, and then once he knew there was a difference, he immediately pulled over and let Dan through. And then, as it turned out, the 2-stop for Sebastian, as his tyres stabilised and without gaps opening up on the track behind him, actually was the best way for him to finish the race as well.
So the radio message we heard about Dan and Seb being on different strategies, that was actually played to him before he gave up the place?
No, absolutely. As soon as he heard that, he immediately let Dan through into turn one. And then, of course, then his race changed a bit as the degradation flattened out a bit, but he was just losing an awful lot of pace to Dan today.
And do you have any answers yet as to why that is?
Not yet. We've got a few pointers, and I think, you know, we know that there's a couple of corners in particular here that Sebastian's really struggling, and I think we need to work hard on the setup. And I think that, you know, because he's not happy with the balance of the car at the moment, that compounds the tyre degradation, which has always been one of his real key strengths. So I'm sure with the benefit of an extra week between now and Barcelona, he'll be looking hard at the data together with his engineers, and I'm sure we'll come up with a better setup for Barcelona.
So there was no issues in the debrief tonight?
No, not at all. I mean, the guys get on really well. They're racers at the end of the day, and they understand that we're trying to do the best job for the team, and, you know, at some point it'll probably be the other way around.
And are you happy with fourth and fifth?
I think fourth and fifth in reality is the maximum for us this weekend. We, if anything, qualified slightly out of position yesterday in the rain. We could see that Alonso certainly made a step forward on Friday, and he's converted that into the race today. So, you know, we've got a bit of ground to catch up going into the European season.
Well, that's it for our adventure here in China. For all the pictures from the paddock and the latest team news, remember to check out the Infinity Red Bull Racing website. Thanks to Red Bull Records for some of the tunes on the podcast today. We leave you with this awesome track from Twin Atlantic. This is Free. Now we head back to Europe for the Spanish Grand Prix in Barcelona in 3 weeks' time. Until then, take care.
Scared and walk away, 'cause there's no need to feel ashamed. Yeah, we all feel the same. I fell in love with rock and roll until I found it was false. It plastered on our face for me. Because the best don't die young. Yeah, we all feel the same. And if there's nothing left to say, just have the guts to disagree. A plaster on our face for me.